At least 8 civilians have lost their lives in the latest Saudi airstrikes on the Yemeni capital, Sana'a. The raids that hit several neighborhoods in the city also left a number of civilians injured. Earlier, fighter jets attacked Sana'a International Airport for the second time in a week. Back on Tuesday, warplanes hit the airport's runway to prevent an Iranian flight carrying relief aid from landing. Saudi jets also pounded other Yemeni cities. They launched air raids on the Sabah region in Nahij province, where the governor general's house was targeted. A number of residential areas were also bombarded in Taiz and Aden. Nearly 3,000 people have been killed in the Saudi aggression since March the 26th. Well, to discuss that further, we're now joined Mr. Edward Corrigan, who is a human rights activist, and he is joining us live now via Skype from Ontario. Mr. Corrigan, thanks for joining us. How do you look upon this as a human rights activist yourself, the destruction of an airport, which is part of, vital infrastructure of any country?
Well, it is a critical part of the infrastructure of Yemen, and Yemen already is the poorest country in the Arab world, and of course it prevented the delivery of humanitarian aid in Sana'a. I think we need to take a look at the whole raison d'etre, the reason behind these attacks. The attacks actually started, launched by Saudi Arabia, and what they did was they killed an initiative of the United Nations. Jamal Bonner, a Moroccan UN diplomat, was on the verge of having a power-sharing agreement between all the parties, which would bring in the Hutus into the government, and they represent around 45% of the population of Yemen. But the bombing attack actually destroyed this, and now Jamal Bonner has actually resigned. But it looks as though that the Saudi air raids were designed to prevent settlement of this crisis, and of course would bring in a power-sharing agreement for the only republic on the whole Arabian Peninsula. So I think there is multiple motivations on the part of Saudi Arabia. They were afraid of losing control. They're afraid of a real power-sharing arrangement. And of course now they're attacking the people of Yemen, civilians, and all the military experts say that Saudi Arabia cannot, decide the outcome of the war simply by aerial attacks. But they've failed to get any movement on the ground. The Pakistani parliament unanimously refused to allow Pakistani troops, which are in Saudi Arabia, to help protect the Saud family from invading Yemen. And in fact, there was reports that thousands of Yemeni military soldiers and members of the Saudi army and also Saudi National Guard had fled from their posts along the Yemeni border, and reportedly 10,000 had fled their posts as well. So there's an abject refusal on the part of the Saudi army and the Saudi National Guard to intervene into the war, which of course reflects badly on the Saud family in that they don't really have a lot of legitimacy or support, and the soldiers in the Saudi military or the National Guard are not about to put their lives on the lines for whatever the objectives of the Saudi family are. So they have a weakness, but now they're switching to bringing in, tribesmen from Yemen, training them, and then going to send them back into the war to fight the Hutus rebels, also to fight the army units that are loyal to the previous President Saleh. But it's much more complex on the ground than what we're seeing. But of course, the UN has described this as a humanitarian catastrophe. Over 3,000 people were killed, over 5,000 injured, plus destruction of infrastructure, mm-hmm. which is very difficult to replace. And so it's a real mess, and it's not really making any progress. And the Hutus are still advancing on Aden, but there is, back and forth. It's almost like there's a stalemate.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. But as always, of course, we do appreciate your insight. That was Mr. Edward Corrigan, who was speaking to us live from Ontario.